for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Shalom, and welcome to the Everlasting Nation Broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions in Hickson, Tennessee. Now here's your host, IBJM Ministries Director, John Lawrence.
Greetings to our listening audience. Thank you for joining us. I'm John Lawrence, Director of Ministries at IBJM, and your host today. I wanted to share with you some exciting news about the publication of a new edition of the biography of Dr. Jacob Gartenhaus, Traitor. Dr. Gartenhaus, a Jewish believer, was the founder of IBJM back in 1949. So this is our 65th anniversary year. We made a few minor revisions to the book and then located a Christian publisher, Fought Life Publications, that has not only agreed to publish this paperback edition, but to market it worldwide into over 30,000 distribution outlets. This will no doubt provide an entirely new audience for the book, far beyond our own limited capabilities as a mission to effectively do such a job. Dr. Gartenhaus wrote the book toward the end of his life, and it's been edited several times since then, but this will be an all-new edition. The book will likely be released sometime in the fall, and we are looking forward to this broad circulation of this amazing testimony of a young Jewish man who was saved out of an Orthodox Jewish home. He immediately became an evangelist, sharing his testimony on the streets of New York City. He suffered persecution and the rejection of much of his family. Dr. Gartenhaus was actually beaten up in the first few days after his salvation by some Jews who didn't like what he was telling them. He later went on to study for the ministry and became a gospel preacher who won many to Christ, Jews and Gentiles alike. His favorite verse was Romans 1:16, to the Jew first, also to the Greek, and it was the theme of his entire ministry. Under his leadership, International Board of Jewish Missions expanded to a work in many other countries of the world. We're now in 15 countries with about 50 missionary families. He preached to great crowds all over the world and saw many come to know his Messiah, who he loved so much. Traitor will touch your heart. It will help you to understand what a Jewish person feels when confronted with the gospel and the claims of the truth of the Word of God. And if you are Jewish, it will show you how this very religious Jewish man came to understand the truth about who Jesus is and how he came to embrace him for his own personal salvation. As the Bible says, it will tell you how he was born again, just as Jesus told the Pharisee Nicodemus that he had to be born again in the New Covenant, John chapter 3. Why not tell your friends, your church, and your pastor about this book? Perhaps consider offering a copy to some of your Jewish contacts who may have an open heart or an open mind to read something like this amazing testimony. We will continue to keep you posted about the release date. If you would like to reserve a copy of this 65th anniversary special edition of Traitor, you can call us here at area code 423-876-8150. Leave your name, address, and phone number with Glenda McGuirt, and we will contact you as soon as the book becomes available here for us to send out. You know, a testimony such as this will sometimes touch Jewish hearts when nothing else seems to work. Sometimes Jewish people will not want a copy of the Bible, certainly may not want a copy of the New Testament, but they may just read the autobiography of another Jewish person. So consider that. Pray for your Jewish friends who need to know Jesus as their Messiah, and then ask the Lord what he would have you to do to reach them. Maybe he would have you to give them a copy of this book. Thank you for tuning in today. And now let's listen to Jewish believer Brother Mark Oshman as he brings us today's Bible message.
Welcome back to another radio broadcast. This program constitutes the last lesson in our series about the Savior's final instructions to his disciples. In this session, we will consider the concluding verses of John chapter 16. Jesus Christ continued this discourse to his disciples by making a profound statement. Quote, I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Unquote. Each portion of that sentence merits careful examination. The Savior's declaration, I came forth from my Father. The Savior's declaration could denote his divine origin. After all, Jesus Christ did not begin to exist when Mary gave birth to him in a Bethlehem manger. As John noted in the first chapter of his Gospel, quote, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Unquote. The phrase, I came forth from my Father, can also refer to the nature of the Savior's mission. In the third chapter of John, that apostle wrote that, quote, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, unquote. Jesus Christ outlined a portion of that commission when in the fifth chapter of John he said, quote, As the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man, unquote. The Savior also explained in John chapter 7 that he came from the Father and that God the Father had sent him. In John 16, the Savior informed his disciples, quote, I leave the world, unquote. Soon after speaking those words, he would ascend back to his heavenly Father. According to John chapter 20, after his resurrection, he had instructed Mary Magdalene, quote, Go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God, unquote. He did not return to his Father in heaven with empty hands, though. He brought with him his shed blood to the holy place, thereby obtaining eternal redemption for the human race. According to the ninth chapter of Hebrews, quote, By his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us, unquote. By means of this act, Jesus Christ enabled believers to approach their Father in heaven. The Savior then assured his disciples in John 16 that he would go to the Father. Thereby, he would fulfill the Davidic prophecy contained in the 16th chapter of the Psalms. Quote, Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Unquote. According to 1 John chapter 2, Jesus Christ currently sits at the right hand of his heavenly Father, making intercession on behalf of his people. In John chapter 16, the Lord's disciples responded to their Savior's statement with an affirmation of their faith. They said, quote, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God, unquote. Throughout the Gospel of John, those disciples had previously affirmed their Savior's identity. Yet, the Lord's forthright statement about his past and his future confirmed his disciples' faith in him. They came to understand that they had not followed what Peter put as cunningly devised fables. They had the assurance that Jesus Christ was actually the Son of God and the prophesied Old Testament Messiah. The Savior's declaration also strengthened their conviction regarding his omniscience, that is to say, his knowledge of all things. Throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus Christ manifested that divine attribute. For instance, he knew about the marital history of the Samaritan woman he encountered at Jacob's well, an incident recorded in the fourth chapter of John. His followers also ultimately came to acknowledge their Lord's omniscience. When Jesus Christ asked Peter whether that apostle loved him, as recorded in John chapter 21, Peter responded by saying, quote, Lord, thou knowest all things, unquote. The disciples' reaction to the Lord's declaration also reflected their confidence in him. Others who did not follow Jesus Christ had taken note of the authority with which he spoke. After he concluded the Sermon on the Mount, for instance, Quote, The people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes, unquote. Officers sent to arrest him in John chapter 7 came back empty-handed. The reason for their failure, they stated, quote, Never man spake like this man, unquote. Unlike those before mentioned individuals, however, Jesus Christ's disciples likewise affirmed his deity and his sovereignty. After they survived the storm on the Sea of Galilee, an incident recorded in Matthew chapter 14, quote, "They that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Unquote. In John chapter 16, Jesus Christ replied to his disciples' affirmations by asking them, quote, "Do ye now believe?" Unquote. He recognized that in spite of their assertions, his followers' understanding of him remained incomplete at that point in time. Both after his before his resurrection and afterwards, those disciples sometimes allowed doubts to weaken their faith in him. For example, after Jesus Christ's crucifixion, they seemed to forget about his assurances to them. As John noted in the 20th chapter of his gospel, they did not even venture to go outside the upper room for fear of the Jews after Jesus Christ was crucified. Once those disciples received the Holy Spirit, though, boldness replaced their uncertainty. Peter had denied his Lord three separate times in the courtyard of the high priest's house. Yet, according to Acts chapter 4, he stood before a Jewish assembly and said, quote, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole." Unquote. In John chapter 16, the Lord referred to the impending time of his trial and how the disciples would react to those events. Quote, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." Unquote. Zechariah had foretold the abandonment of his adherents in the 13th chapter of his prophecy, when he wrote these words, quote, "Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." Unquote. That prophecy came to pass in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus Christ's disciples forsook him and fled, as recorded in the 14th chapter of Mark. In the 22nd chapter of Luke's Gospel, Jesus Christ added these words of advice, quote, "But now, he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you, that this is written must yet be accomplished in me, and he was reckoned among the transgressors. For the things concerning me have an end." Unquote. When they replied that they had two swords, he commented, quote, "It is enough." Unquote. Despite knowing that those whom he loved would forsake him, the Savior was aware that his heavenly Father would preserve him through that time of trial. This was prophesied in the 49th chapter of Isaiah. Quote, "In an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee." Unquote. Jesus Christ's heavenly Father would strengthen him to face the ordeal that awaited him. Jesus Christ concluded his discourse in John chapter 16 with further words for his disciples. He said, quote, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Unquote. As Paul put it in Philippians chapter 4, "The peace that Jesus Christ bestows transcends all understanding and will preserve the believer." Christians can rejoice because their Savior has overcome the world. Because of that fact, they too can overcome the world through their faith in him. With this theme, Jesus Christ concluded his discourse on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. His hour had come. He would soon accomplish the purpose of his incarnation, that is, the redemption of the world. This concludes our series on the Savior's final instructions to his disciples. Thank you for listening. We invite you to tune in for future radio broadcasts.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can write us at P.O. Box 1386, Hickson, Tennessee, 37343, or call us at 423-876-8150, or you may also go online at ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.